The Necklace and Other Stories. A box of dusty old rocks that, when polished, can have some hidden value. So, I'm talking about The Necklace and Other Stories by Guy de Maupassant. I hope I pronounced that right. This is a short story collection. The dude wrote hundreds and hundreds of short stories, but there's a few in there that I read. I read all of them that were in there. Anyway, originally, this collection was released in 1884. But that edition was from 2003. The category of writing, I would say, just short story, gen fic, moralistic, naturalist is the most academic term for the genre of writing. But there you go. So, The Necklace is, as with a lot of short story collections that have the title of a story and then to say end other stories, that is the most popular one of this group. This collection, that The Necklace is the most popular story, so thus the book is named after that. I'm not going to get into spoilers of any of the stories at all, and I don't think I really need to. It is moral, philosophical, mundane, and detailed. I would say some stories more than others with a lot of those elements, but we'll get into that. So basically, Guy, he wrote a lot of stories that provide opportunity for social commentary. There's tons of opportunity for that here. And again, there's some morals, but they're not in an Aesop's Fable kind of way. They're very open. They allow you to just read what happened, and they're very realistic in some regards. And then you can try to glean something from that on your own. It's not just handed to you on a silver platter all the time. Sometimes it is very obvious as to what lesson maybe you should be learning here, or it's giving you a reality and some truth that isn't disguised in any manner. However, there's other times where there's some horror stories in here in a way, and again, the realism, but they are just kind of a vignette of something really scary and not good. And some of that is very philosophical and more cerebral, and it's more conceptual than it is oh, someone's chasing me and I'm running away. It's not really like that. I mentioned naturalist, and the naturalist kind of writing movement sees kind of a mixture of realism and romanticism. And in the past, I have talked about romanticism as an artistic movement and basically described it as the abuse of adjectives, as it was defined to me in a book, and it's very accurate. So we got fact and logic combined with speculation. Those are things that kind of encapsulate naturalist writing. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say right now about it. That's the really short version. So again, we've got some stories here that just have a tinge of humor. Definitely irony plays a big role in some of these big lessons. Again, they're kind of left open. It's not and this is why you shouldn't steal. It's just kind of here's a story about some stuff that happened. And someone usually, in about half these stories, someone has a big revelation at the end of the story, or the reader has a revelation, that they're given information that's oh, okay, I see what this is about now. I mentioned the mundane, and so in a lot of these stories, they have a lot of, again, they're not super fantastical by any means. They're just things that can happen to everyday regular folk, and they're not crazy coincidences, and there's just things that happen. These are things that happen to people. But they have sometimes big payoff. Other times, not so much. Either way, it's kind of a slog to get through some of these stories. There are some longer ones, but also just his writing style, especially for that time, the 1800s, we've got a lot of detail, but a lot of detail of the mundane. And I feel a lot of these could be cut in half, the word count could be cut in half. Because I know it's style, right? And this is writing of the times, but a lot of this stuff just doesn't need to be said. There's just too much detail of things that are so incredibly insignificant. They don't set the scene that well. However, like I mentioned, I think that there is payoff here, but it is a bit of a slog. If you don't like reading old language, then I don't think this is going to be for you. There were times, because I like old language when it's flowery. I like the poetry of old language. This doesn't have that. This just has the longevity. That's not the right word. It feels dry because we've got so many words describing something that doesn't need that many words, and it carries on and carries on, and it just makes it take longer to get through. So keep that in mind. But some of these stories I definitely think are worth reading. So if you definitely want to read about some things that are more of a social commentary, a little bit of irony, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, and there are those couple horror stories in here, but again, they're not like, oh, werewolf is chasing me. It's like horror of the mind, or just like a situational thing of like, man, that would be really scary, or that would be horrible. But they are pretty cerebral. They're a little more psychological in their nature, those scary stories. Yeah, I think that's what I can say about this collection. And again, he wrote hundreds of stories, but if these are his best, I don't think I would read anymore, honestly, personally, for me. I think that at the time, maybe they served an important function. I think that some of these stories, you could, if there was an abridged version where you could summarize it for some students or for some younger people anyway, that some of these would deliver a good message, something to ponder on, to think about, for sure. But yeah, provide good opportunity for good social discussion, put it that way. I don't think that they're important now. I think that the function of the time had a certain amount of importance, and now they're good reminders, or like, again, if you can condense it, then I think the lessons in here are still useful. It's just hard to call important. But unfortunately, that's part of it, just the way that it's formatted and written is so difficult to get through at times. At times. Other times it's easier, but sometimes it just drags. It just drags. The language isn't that difficult. It's just the use of language is difficult. Anyway. I'd put it on the middle of my shelf because I think it has value. But that's the thing. If you're not willing to dig to get these gems out, it's going to be hard to recognize that value. Like, you got to read it, right? And that's the hard work of this thing. Some things are incredibly easy to read, and they're fun, and they're thrilling, and they're page-turners. These stories deliver a message, but I would not say, oh, man, he can, you know, he can spin a good yarn. It's like, no, he has a good concept, but he doesn't express it in a way that just keeps you wanting to come back to it over and over and over again and just, like, read it and figure it out and learn whatever he has to say. It's like, I kind of want to know what's happening here, but, man, it's boring and difficult to get through. It's dry. So it's going to stay on the middle of my shelf. I think you get the payoff when you read them, but it's... I took a long time to work through these stories. I took like 2 years to work through these stories. The latter half, I think, was all in the past like 6 months, but it was like a year and a half of just like, I don't know if I want to read this right now. Like, it took me a long time. Obviously, I read many other books in between, but this just, like, I couldn't sit down and just get through it. So, anyway, with that, the necklace and other stories.